and welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 225. Is that a special number? I don't think it is. It's not three twos.
You said it in a slightly special number way, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, didn't I? 225. That is the voice of the charismatic John Jordan.
Not today's.
And that is the chortle of the not so charismatic but quite mean Keith Andrew.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Hi, this is going to be an exciting show, isn't it?
Show? We're getting professional.
Is Keith going to do his jazz hands again?
I'm going to do a phone-in or something. What?
Yeah, well, we're going to do a phone-in. We're going to do a raffle. We're going to do a charity drive. All of these things. Because I promised that we're going to do something new on this podcast.
Why? Oh, weren't you meant to be naked?
Well, I am. That's part of it. You've ruined the picture that was going to attribute on the website. So
I think the picture was ruined anyway, wasn't it?
It was. But yeah, we're going to do amazing brand new things. Or what we'll do is we'll keep to the exact same format and maybe I'll slip something in post-editing. That's probably what's going to happen. So before any of that, let's head on over to the update. Bit of a short one for you this week. The first update on the update to update you with is Bad Piggies, which has gained 15 extra levels, and that's quite exciting in itself. Obviously,
peanut and then the wrong way.
Was it chocolate covered? This is the
chocolate covered peanuts. What freak did you take me for?
No. Whoa! Okay, let's put the update on hold here. What is wrong with chocolate-covered peanuts?
They're not very healthy for you.
What about chocolate-covered raisins?
They're even worse.
I think it's the chocolate element.
But it's fruit and nuts! What's wrong with fruit and nuts? They're good for you.
Yeah, no, fruit and nuts are very good for you. Don't you use chocolate on them.
The chocolate is just the tasty bit. You balance it out with the fruit and the nuts. That's why when you eat a fruit and nut chocolate and you're on Weight Watchers, it doesn't actually count.
You have a lot to learn about Weight Watchers.
Bad Piggies, 15 extra levels. that's a good thing, 15 extra levels, obviously.
It's something else as well, though. More than 15 extra levels.
I was building up to it. My professional... you two are ruining this podcast for me already. I can see that this is not going well. That adds to the mountain of levels already available. But the most exciting thing, as John hinted at just then, is that there is also a replay sharing function in this new update. So what that means is that you can record and then share with the world your gameplay. So that update is out and it is free. So go and grab that now. And the only other thing that I could really find, I'm sure there's loads of other updates. I'm sure there is, but the really big one is that Topple 2 has been updated from unavailable to now available.
Is that really an update?
I think it's updated its status in terms of whether or not it's on sale.
No, it wasn't, because it wasn't available, so it's not like an update, is it? It's been resubmission, wasn't it?
Well, now, it was originally available, and this was way back in 2009 that it came out. We reviewed it, and we gave it a pretty good score. And then it got taken off, and now it's available again. So I would say...
It's a new game, though, isn't it? Or it's a new game in terms of it's a new... It says Topple 2 with Bargate, doesn't it? So it didn't have that before.
So exactly. So it's got this...
social stuff in.
Exactly. So now it's got all this extra stuff. So I would say that it was an update. I would also say that it's probably the only other bit of information in terms of updates that I could find in 5 minutes.
I would also say that I call it mobbage.
Mobbage.
I call it mobbage.
Mobbage.
Who's right?
Mobbage is like what an Australian would say, mobbage. Yeah.
I like the idea of it being called Mobage.
Well, Mobage sounds like he rules some kind of African dictatorship, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
I think that's what, I mean, it's Japanese, obviously, I think that's what they call it, Mobage.
Mobage.
Yeah, I'd do an impression, but I'd probably offend some people, so I won't.
Yeah, no.
Well, you do an impression of Mr. Mugabe.
No, I was going to do an impression of a Japanese person saying Mugabe, but I won't.
Good, because that cuts down on editing. Oh dear, this is a train wreck already. Let's go on to the news! News! First news story on the docket is... Do we still have a docket now that we don't have a fake newsroom that we don't use anymore? I think we do, don't we?
No, use that newsroom anymore. God, it was being decorated for months when Will was here, and now we don't use it.
No, I know. It's just sitting there, gathering newsy dust, which is quite inky dust.
Two people working in there as well, wasn't there?
I think they're dead now.
Oh, dear.
The first bit of information is that Jagex is working, quote, really hard to have RuneScape on tablets by the end of 2013. Now, if you're not aware of what RuneScape is... What are you doing with your life? RuneScape's huge. It's this
not wasting it playing RuneScape.
Well, exactly. You're not 13 to 16 years of age, and a boy. It's an MMO, and it's traditionally been PC based. It came out, I believe it came out just before World of Warcraft came out, and it's incredibly popular, and it's one of the few MMOs, I believe it might be one of the only MMOs actually, that continues to increase its users month on month. It's one of the reasons for that is it's really, really easy to run on PC, and I think there's actually two versions of RuneScape, normal RuneScape and RuneScape HD.
But that was kind of partly because they updated it all because it looked so ancient, and then a whole bunch of people complained and
That's
said
right.
they wanted it to look like in 2000 or 1905 or whenever, 1863 or whenever it came up. there's people playing like 8-year-old graphics.
Yep, that's really right.
And it looks awful. It looks awful because it's a very odd fan base.
It's a very strange but very dedicated fan base, and apparently they have very deep pockets. So the news is that they are coming to that this game is coming to tablets. Probably the HD version, I would warrant, if it's going to be a version of RuneScape, because people don't want it to look like donkey's ass.
But it's kind of like, I mean, it's interesting though, because when you're running like an online, it's all kind of games of servicing. When you're running a game that's online and people have been playing it for a number of years, and then you change something, then of course some people will be annoyed by it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of, I mean, that's obviously why they had to do that for the online side, but obviously for the tablet side, no one's played it on a tablet before, so presumably some of the old players will play it, because it's almost like a new release, isn't it? So obviously it'll be the HD version, and I guess all they have to change the UI and all that kind of stuff as well, which is kind of the bigger problem I think for these online games. They don't get that right. I think they're, having a touch screen, they kind of have all these icons everywhere.
Yeah, and this is the thing. I guess the reason I wanted to kind of bring it up is RuneScape is a game that that comes from Jagex, which is a company that in every single interview sort of leading up to this announcement, they've always been very anti going on to phones and going on to tablets. They've never wanted to kind of experiment with this big, their money-making MMO on mobiles.
I think,
but
they've had lots of experiments, and they've been making like, and they announced games that they just canned and never came out, didn't they? I mean, they've been quite.
That's right.
They've struggled quite a lot to do something that.
This is clearly their cash cow, and they've tried different things. Like they've had two Transformers games now, or the second one's just about to launch. To bring RuneScape to tablet, obviously they're looking to make money, but it's an interesting move, I would say, from this company. Next news story, I've sort of cheekily marked it as in our notes as Microsoft disguises viral marketing as a survey. Microsoft calculates that the UK spends £30.9 million a month on unauthorised IAPs. legitimacy of this research aside, or the reasoning, I should say, as to why this research was done, especially off the back of the fact that Microsoft kind of highlighted in the press releases when they were talking about these unauthorized IPs that their new is it Windows Phone or just Windows 8 or Windows?
Keith knows all about this. Yeah,
it's a survey to push their they have a section on the Windows Phone where you can put together apps that you think your kids might like to play into a kind of locked off section, so you can hand your phone over to them and they can't access anything else on the phone, they can't buy things, they can't delete your emails, called Kids Corner, which is, you know, it's a very nifty idea. It's been there since Windows Phone launched. So they're just this survey is a canny bit of research designed to push that, really, to say, oh, look what a big problem it is, but don't worry, we've got a solution, which is fair enough. Most surveys are, in one way or another, completely biased. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess the reason we're sort of reporting on this is that's a huge figure. And obviously, being a, you know, we're sort of worldwide focused, but we're UK based. Being UK based, that number kind of hits home really hard.
We were talking about this with John last night, and kind of suggesting it's not actually that, it's not that big a figure, really. I mean, and that's only a worst case scenario. As one of our, no doubt, listeners, I'm sure he listens every week, and developer Will Luton kind of worked out that essentially what they did was they asked people, had their kids ever made any in-app purchases, you know, without them asking, and a certain number said yes. And then they asked them, has it ever led to you getting a massive bill? And a certain number said yes. And then they asked those people, how much did they add to the bill, essentially? But essentially, they're only asking for that one month. So it's not like every month 30.9 million is spent on in-app purchases. It's just as if all of those in-app purchases were made in one month, how much would it add up to? So it's not.
Yeah, I guess the other thing is, when you say to people, oh, did you do this in the last month? And people go, it might be like 6 weeks ago, and they go, oh, this is the last month. I mean, a month is quite an elastic kind of term, isn't it? So, I mean, I think it's quite an interesting, as these kind of surveys go, it's kind of quite interesting kind of way of highlighting a feature that I hadn't heard of before for Windows, so Windows Phone or whatever. So that's kind of interesting. But the thing I always hate when they go 30.37 million, you know, it's like, they make it really precise, and it's clearly, anyone with any statistical knowledge would go, well, no, that's you've just basically, you've taken a figure out there. Because if you did the survey and you came up with £500,000, you wouldn't run it in the survey because it's not big enough. So you're self-selecting this figure that sounds big. Interesting. But equally,
I was going to say, I like how on our website it's in the iPad section. On the URL, iPad/my.
But the reason, you know, the reasoning behind that, I would say, is it's clearly a bit of a swipe at Apple, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, like all the, I can't, you know, obviously we've got the big Apple show coming up in June now, so it's not like a month away, and everyone's expecting a big switch in kind of iOS 7 or whatever. But it's something that technically is not that difficult. I mean, it's like, you know, I guess it's kind of interesting from a usability kind of point of view. They're kind of, you know, I think that's where a lot of these devices are going now, the mobile devices. It's not really about the technology. You can always do clever stuff with the technology, but it's much more about how do people want to use things and how you kind of provide kind of experiences for them. And clearly everyone knows it's not like a problem that just Windows has with kids spending money. It's just the Windows, iOS, sorry. It's just that iOS is the biggest platform, so clearly the most amount of money is going through that. But I don't see, like, in a year's time that, you know, BlackBerry, Windows, Android, everyone would just implement this kind of, because it's basically just a locked off kind of walled garden thing, isn't it? I mean,
yeah. I don't think it's a swipe at Apple. I think literally the Microsoft PR company in the UK obviously watched this massive. I mean, in the newspapers and the, you know, BBC News and all that, all went mad over these stories of kids buying in-app purchases without permission. And someone's thought, well, hang on, if we put out a press release escalating it, then they'll cover it. And they did. The papers were all over this yesterday.
Were they?
Okay. Yeah, and it was on The Guardian, it was in The Independent, it was in The Times. Everyone was all over it saying, you know, blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing. You know, it's a very clever way. And of course, all of those stories then made reference to Microsoft's own services. So, you know, it's a little bit, the number is meaningless. The whole thing's meaningless, really. Essentially, we know that some kids are buying in-app purchases without permission. You can't really put a figure on it. It doesn't. And that, you know, what is that figure? You think 30.9 of what? It's, you know, it kind of just up in the air. It's just a random number, really. It's kind of, but it's a canny bit, you know, it's a very clever, you know, kudos to their PR agency because everyone jumped on it.
And finally, the news that EA is going to be developing core Star Wars games, while Disney is going to be focusing on mobile, social, and tablet releases. Obviously, this is going to affect listeners in so much as Disney is going to be making the games that have the Disney name on it and are sort of Disney franchises. So you've got your, you know, your Where's My Waters and Where's My Perry's and that sort of thing. And you've got Star Wars and Pixar and everything from LucasArts. So they're the ones that are going to be most likely making the next mobile iteration of some of your favourite franchises. Why? Now,
You're sounding confused, Peter.
Let's say, I am a bit confused. Let's say, like, Disney want to hold on to their mobile stuff. Why would they want to shop out more sort of core, and I think that that's a very sort of loose term. Why would they want to ship their core licenses out to a third party like EA?
Well, I mean, the part thing is not, I mean, this is just the Star Wars stuff, isn't it? So it's not their core kind of licenses for all the Disney stuff. So, mm-hmm. you know, this is a very specific thing where Star Wars is going to be reinvigorated. EA at the moment is kind of in this middle. It just announced its financials yesterday or 2 days ago. And they weren't brilliant at all. They were kind of okay, but they're going to make another loss this year with all the console stuff. So it's just that, you know, Disney do not have a great history of making anything other than casual games and more recently really good mobile games. You know, they just don't make, they haven't made core games. They, you know, like a lot of these companies, they just tend to struggle with kind of creating a really good experience. But you know, EA have said they're going to have three teams making Star Wars games. There's going to be BioWare, who are obviously brilliant and make Star Wars games. There's DICE, who are brilliant at shooters. And then there's Visceral, which is just EA's main studio in California. So, you know, I mean, certainly Disney don't have anything internally as good as BioWare or DICE. So, and you kind of think for Disney, if you're going to make one of these games, like for a big Star Wars game, it's probably going to cost you $30 million, maybe $50 million. Whereas they can just let EA do it, and if it's successful, they get a big cut of the profit without putting any money up. So from that point of view, it makes complete sense, because otherwise Disney would have to hire like about 1,000 people to do it, which, you know, it's just probably EA, because EA is so desperate to make sure no one else gets it, like Activision maybe were after it as well. So EA probably gave Disney a pretty good deal on it. So
I think
it's interesting just to quickly say that. You know, because I'm sure EA would have been quite like to make kind of mobile games. And it wasn't really, you didn't really, because I think it's the core bit that's important. So I think EA will probably make some iOS games based on the Star Wars license, because it was a bit ambiguous about exactly where that split was being made. Because also it said these games, the licenses EA have, are not based on the new films. So they're based on characters and, you know, characters and settings from the Star Wars universe. But from what I read on that press release, it didn't say, you know, the next film that's coming out is 2015, isn't it? So that's not a license for that one. So it may be that Disney take that themselves and do it in a mobile way. So it's interesting, but it's kind of like a lot of grey areas, I kind of thought, in that press release.
I think it's quite a canny move, because I think if you look at the Star Wars games on console, apart from, and they were awful anyway, the third person action one. No, what was it?
Unleashed. But LucasArts made those, and LucasArts were awful at making
what I mean is, in general, yeah, I mean, I think they're almost tarnished on console, and I think.
No, that's true, yeah.
Disney are quite canny in thinking, actually, where's the money here? It's probably going to be on mobile, especially by the time the films do come out. I think there's an opportunity there for them to make far more money on mobile than they would have done. So they kind of like palmed EA off with a console license, which could be absolutely nothing for them.
I do think you're right there, Keith. I mean, I think it is interesting at the moment. Obviously, I spend a lot of time looking at financials and stuff. When you look at the companies who are making money, like, you know, EA just, they made a tiny bit of money on that. I think it was like $3.5 billion turnover. But they've like sacked 10% of their workforce. You know, they're just really having to struggle at the moment to make a profit. Whereas you look at someone like Gree, who did the Mabagi platform and Rage of Behemoth and Blood Brothers and all that. They did pretty much the same, made a $2 billion turnover, which was up like 30%. And they made a profit of $750 million. I mean, it's just like unbelievably profitable. And it's just, you know, I think you're completely right, Keith. You know, Disney's just like, you can make stacks of money off mobile and not invest, you know, a couple of million quid in the game. I mean, look at Supercell. I mean, it's like, that's like a money-making machine.
So do we think that with the lower barrier to entry for making mobile social tablet games, and that's obviously a generalization. I know there are, you know, games that do cost staggering amounts of money.
No,
anyway.
Not on mobile. No, I mean,
well, you know, what was the one?
Not staggering amounts, though. Not, I mean, if you think of something like, you know, how much Battlefield 4. You know, some of these games are getting up to, you know, $75 million, $100 million to make.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's when you're getting onto movie size kind of amounts of money. I mean, I can't believe any mobile game would have cost more than.
There's the one from the Metal Gear Solid producer, which was meant to be costing billions of dollars to make. But they're rare. So I sort of say, you know, generally the investment is much lower. Mm. Do we think that Disney will therefore take a punt on some of the licenses that it's recently acquired? So, you know, a lot of people were bemoaning the fact that Disney have now, obviously they've bought LucasArts, and a big part of the very profitable part of LucasArts was obviously the Star Wars licenses. But does this mean that Disney will hold on to the sort of more niche but much loved titles like Monkey Island and Grim Fandangos, and then take a risk on them for a mobile release?
I kind of think what often you see now with just the way the games industry is at the moment is, unless, I mean, certainly if there's someone within Disney, and I know one of the guys who's quite high up in Disney Mobile, and if he like had a burning desire to go, oh, I want to remake Monkey Island, do something, you know, take Monkey Island, you know, I think he has the clout inside to do it. Or if one of their designers said, I really want to do this, and persuaded the guys they could do an investment, they would do it. But it would be a bit like a guy with passion would really internally drive it. I don't think they would do it for monetary reasons, because those games, while they're much loved by gamers, they're not the kind of games that are going to be making you $100 million a year, you know, because they're just a bit niche. So I think what would be more likely, I mean, maybe we'll see now Disney have those licenses, maybe Tim Schafer would go, oh yeah, I really, you know, I want to, can I get access to those licenses, and we'll do like a licensing deal. So it'd be more, I think it'd be more likely what would happen is all these, as you know, EA have just sacked, you know, how many people say 900 people, whatever. Yeah, you know, all those guys, yeah, you know, some of them will leave the industry, but most of them will just try and start a game studio up. So suddenly you've got thousands of new development studios, or hundreds or whatever, you know, yeah, probably hundreds, starting up. And some of those guys are very experienced, you know, they've been making games for 20 years. And I think kind of that's kind of where the innovation comes from now, not these kind of big corporates like Disney. You know, there's just like now lots of experienced guys who have started up and looking around, and, you know, and because they're the guys who have probably maybe worked at LucasArts back in the day, or certainly kind of played those Monkey Island games, you know, they're the ones who are going to be coming up with the good ideas. And they kind of, I mean, in a very similar thing, like the Lego Star Wars thing, you know, that came about because some guys at this company, Traveller's Tales, had been working, making games for Lego, pretty bad games for Lego. But they kind of knew some of the guys at, they didn't know the guys at LucasArts. They just kind of thought this would be a brilliant idea because the Lego Star Wars came out. And so they knew the guys at Lego, and Lego said, well, yeah, go ahead, go and talk to LucasArts and see, you know, if you can get it off them. And they just came up with this brilliant idea, and LucasArts were like, oh, we never would have come up with this idea. And now it's like a massively successful. So the innovation happens outside, I think, of these big corporates, so I'm struggling to say.
We, of course, asked a question of our community. Of course we did. Yeah, of course we did. Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
What's the answer?
The answer is, no, well, to know the answer, you must know the question, John.
True.
Yeah. We asked it on our Twitter feed, which is @PocketGamer. The question was, of all the Disney properties, which one would you like to see be made into a mobile game next? And what kind of game would it be? These are the hard-hitting questions that we ask.
Goodness.
As part of the PodGamer podcast question of the week, which happens at about 5 p.m. on a Thursday. So we've got Armin Bon says the Gnome Mobile, a fast action death race.
The Gnome?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I know the Gnome.
I don't know if I know that one either. Maybe that's super niche, like a super hardcore fan of something called the Gnome.
Isn't it?
That's good. We've got from QZ a Buzz Lightyear themed FPS.
Well, the thing is, Disney have got this crazy thing, haven't they? They've got this Disney Infinity thing that is just, I don't really understand, but it seems to be a game that in, that has every single Disney character in it, and you can do anything with them, and you just go, how on earth is that going
to
work?
And that's meant to be coming to tablets, so
it is.
You might actually get that.
Because in that game, you can use any Disney character. So you have Mickey Mouse with Buzz Lightyear and flying a rocket, and in the, yep. Goodness me, no. I can't believe that's going to work. I've seen there's some very, 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 very smart people making that game, and I'm sure they've understood the obvious things that can go wrong, but to me, it's just like, that can't work.
It just kind of feels like, everybody was like, right, we want all of your ideas, and then there was nobody that went, right, now I need to take the ideas that might not work out of this big pile, and they just went, yeah, do all of them. Someone called Harry Slater says, I would like to see Aladdin. Remade into a first-person shooter, and he has design docs.
I could say, isn't that Prince of Persia? kind of.
Chris Kelly says a Mighty Ducks ice hockey game.
Oh no, that'd be interesting.
That would be good.
Ice hockey, don't they?
I say Mighty Ducks reboot. That'd be good. Who's this? Enrique Herrera. Says, I would like to see Kingdom Hearts made on mobile. They could release special storylines and characters for mobile users. Now, I believe that's already been made.
I think that I've definitely will it be made in
Japan. I think there's a Gree version, isn't there? A card battler.
Yes, no, you are completely right. Yeah. No, Kingdom Hearts was a nice game, actually. Yeah, I played it on the... Was it? On the DS.
There's a DS one with a ridiculous name. There's a PSP one.
It's a PSP one, yeah. They were good. There's obviously PlayStation ones. I think I played some of the PlayStation ones as well. Yeah, I mean, very Japanese, though, weren't they? They were very Japanese.
They're very... they're a bit sort of... well, they combine Final Fantasy with Disney, and it's like, I don't really know if I want Squall hanging out with Mickey. I don't know what they get up to.
Yeah, I thought it was quite a good combination, though, yeah.
Do you know what they should do? I'm going to blow your mind here.
Okay, go on.
So obvious that I can't believe they haven't done it.
Come on.
They should do an endless runner, a 3D endless runner of Herbie. That would be brilliant.
Oh, no, that would be good.
An endless driver.
What's a Herbie?
You don't what? Know what? Oh, my word. Oh, my word.
What Never are you talking about?
I think I'm going to move on. Alan Passingham says Monkey Island. Fair enough. Josh Precision? I'm going to get lots of names mixed up in a minute. Says Epic Mickey would be pretty neat on mobile. I reviewed the 3DS version of the Epic Mickey game, and I always thought that it would probably end up on mobile, but it just hasn't happened.
Again, that was one of those ones I never understood why Warren Spector was making a game about Mickey Mouse, and it just seemed like quite a random combination of using paint and then the second one had really, because they had Evil Mickey, didn't they? That was the whole, and the Evil Mickey looked like he literally was a horrible experiment that had gone wrong. He looked really scary.
Was there an Evil Mickey? I thought it was
Was it the other one? Who was it? Who was the other one?
There was as far as I know, Disney's first ever character was this evil Mickey character.
Oh, was it?
Somebody else. But and then he got replaced very quickly.
He's got like dog ears.
Yeah, that's right.
And even Mickey looked a bit odd.
Yeah, like, he did, actually.
I just kind of thought this is a really... It's just the whole thing to me, because it's obviously a kid's game, wasn't it? I just thought, oh, that's quite scary.
What did Warren Spector do before that? Was it System Shock?
Yeah, Warren Spector did all the Looking Glass stuff. Yeah, he worked with Iron Storm, he did Deus Ex. Yeah, no, he's a very, very smart chap, his old Spector. Mm. He's not there anymore, got sacked. The whole thing got shut down. I think he had his company was, what was it called, Junction Point.
Yeah, they've left now, haven't they?
Shut down. But I thought the whole thing was quite weird, him going for them, because he's not...
Indeed.
He does love Mickey Mouse, so, but...
I just had another idea.
Oh, okay.
Oswald, he's called Oswald.
Oh, there we are.
Oswald. The runt of the family.
they should do...
Go on.
Oswald the Lucky Rabbit? Oh, I didn't know it was a rabbit. Oh, that's funny. Okay.
They should do... Did anyone play on... No, I don't suppose anyone did apart from me. The Java... when Up came out, they had a brilliant Java game on Up where you had to kind of... You had to
up the field,
blow the gust of winds so that the balloons would kind of carry over. It was like it was a platform. It was really good. They could do that. They could either do that again, or they could do it with Mary Poppins as she holds the umbrella and flies away. That would be a good one. I should just get into this game development stuff.
Yeah.
I'm clearly,
I would say you should. another person who should probably.
I've also put a picture of Herbie in the chat window.
You're very excited about this Disney idea, aren't you, Keith?
I'm absolutely astounded you didn't know who Herbie
who's
was.
Her? Right, okay, I'm loading up a picture.
Must
that's a
seen.
Car. That's not a Herbie.
Have you must never seen, have seen, never the, seen Herbie the Herbie movie? Film.
I've literally no idea what you're talking about. Oh, this sounds like... Is this the same thing as Speed Racer?
No.
It's a car that's alive.
Wasn't it in the, it's in the 80s, wasn't it, Herbie? He was massive in the 80s.
No, not in the 80s.
Was it not in the 80s?
No, it's like in the 60s, the Herbie movie.
Was it?
They're bloody ancient. who was in the Herbie movie? Was the guy? Well, the guy who was the dad from Mary Poppins was in the Herbie movie.
Love Bug, 1969. Herbie Rides Again, 1974. Herbie Goes to Monte Carlo, 1977. Herbie Goes Bananas, 1980.
Oh yeah, Bananas was awful though. No. And the first Herbie two are the only
loaded,
good ones.
Herbie Fully Loaded remade in 2005.
Yeah, that had thingy in it. What's she called? She became a lesbian for a while.
We have gone down a weird path. Let me finish reading.
Herbie Goes to Monte Carlo was really good. I remember that.
No. It's all about the first two. The first two of the films.
I've lost complete.
I can't believe you've not watched it. Pete, if you watch that, you will cry. You should watch.
I don't think you cry. No.
No, you do, because he tries to commit suicide. I never realised the gravity of it.
Oh, why? Okay, Keith, why do I have to watch it now that you've spoiled the film for me?
Oh, no.
He tries to save the humans, doesn't he? He sacrifices himself. Yeah. No, he's not trying to commit suicide, is he?
No, because he's owner. He goes and buys a better sports car because it's all he's a car that's alive and he's a really good racer. And then his owner thinks it's all him and goes and buys a better sports car and he's left on his own. And he goes and tries to chuck himself into the river. It's really sad. Saving the world. What the hell? What film you've been watching, John?
Punker Gamer community member Zach Kinnean says, an endless runner like Iron Man 3, but with the sky surfing from Tailspin. Nice one, Zach. Bavuk Jane, Super PG member, says, Cars, some sort of racing game. I think that is actually on. I really like this guy, and I love his writing, but I can never pronounce his name. Grilliopolis. That's his name, isn't it? Yeah. Dan Grilliopolis. Okay, I'm going to say that three times every day before I go to bed so I can hammer it into my mind. It says, Howard the Duck, an angry bird pastiche involving foul-mouthed ducks.
Good work.
I think that's a blooming good idea, actually. Thank you very much for all of your answers, PG community. As always, make sure that you're following at Pocket Gamer so that you can join in at about 5 p.m. on a Thursday. Okay, that took a Herbie detour, so let's go to the new releases. As you'll probably remember on last week's show, I said that people could get in touch via podcast@pocketgamer.co.uk and tell me what they wanted to hear on the show. And we got an email after the last show went out. And so I just thought I'd slip this brand new segment into this middle part of the show. And this segment is called Let's Find Finch a Friend. So I got this brilliant email from a man named Finch, and he's a Pocket Gamer regular, and he writes, Dear Mr. Willington, like him already, using Mr. That's good. Full disclosure, I'm an American expatriate who has been living in England for some years now, and I don't have any friends. Isn't that sad? That's terrible. Most of my colleagues are middle-aged women, many old enough to be my mother. There are a few other guys, and a couple of them are into D&D, which is cool, but I haven't played D&D since I was a teenager. Anyway, what I really would like is a friend or three who share my primary passion, video games. So, I thought to myself, well, this man, he needs some guy time. And I know that the PG community is welcoming and friendly and it's awesome. So, I think that's what we should do. I think we should try and find Finch a friend. So, I'm going to try and sell Finch to you now with some fun facts that he sent over about himself. And then maybe you'll want to be internet friends with him. That'd be nice. Okay, so here are the facts. He's an avid PG reader, and he calls the podcasts joyous, so he has good taste. Continuing the good taste trend, he got himself an iOS device just for one game, and that was Middle Manager of Justice, even though he's hardly touched it. However, he has discovered a number of other amazing games that I personally love, including Motor World Car Factory. He was born at the very tail end of the 70s, so he's early 30s, and he says that this means that he's old enough to have bunked off a few days in high school to see the Star Wars Special Edition cinematic re-releases, but he's too young to have seen any of them in the cinema during their initial run. So that sort of gives you an age range. Not that age means everything. He's got a good sense of humour, and he says that he was humbled by how much better the British sense of humour is when he came over, especially compared to the Americans. What? I mean, I don't want to say that the British are funnier. I'm not saying that. Americans do good TV series though. He says that he's got an eclectic taste in music and in video games, and that he's a pretty nice guy, and that he's pretty sure he's not a loser. And you know what, Finch, you know what, mate? I don't think you're a loser either, and I don't think the PG community will think that you are either. I just think that he's unlucky, you know. I think this Finch chap is a bit unlucky, and he hasn't had a chance to meet people over here. He hasn't had a chance to bond with some mans. You know, he's come over here on the adventure called life, and unfortunately, he's not been able to make any man mates. That's a shame. Here's the deal. Here's the plan. Maybe you're a fan of Star Wars and you want to chat about Yoda and that. Maybe you're playing Motor World Car Factory or D&D and you need a buddy. Or maybe you want to email him and tell him what he's missing out on with Middle Manager of Justice. Or maybe you're in a similar situation. You're an American expatriate and you have moved to Britain and you want a friend because you haven't made very many friends over here either. Or maybe you've got some advice for him on how to make friends, that sort of thing. How to approach people. Who knows? Drop me an email, podcast@pocketgamer.co.uk, and I will put you in touch with Finch if you want to be his friend, if you want to be his internet buddy, his computer pal. And then we will have created this big internet group hug, this podcast pal network, a one-off special love fest. Not that kind of love fest. Probably shouldn't have said love fest. Maybe I did that out. All right. That email again, podcast@pocketgamer.co.uk. I will follow up on this next week as well, because James is still out next week, and I will report back. So, PG community, get involved. podcast@pocketgamer.co.uk. Let's find Finch a friend. Out this week, Impossible Road. Now, this is a game that's been played a little bit in the PG office. I know Mike and Mark have both been playing it. We're sort of describing it as that bit in Mario Kart 64 in Rainbow Road where you can jump off of stuff and then get a really good shortcut. Oh, and also it's Super Hexagon. I've been playing it, and I think that's actually a perfect description of it. It's from Pixels on Toast, the idea is that you're a white ball on a white background, which, so a bit difficult to see it, except for the fact that there's a dark blue track stretching out and curling around in front of you, and you have to keep your ball on that track. And sometimes you leave the track, and very often you leave the track, because it's a very, very tough game, you can sort of jump back onto your course, and then if you go through a gate, and the track is sort of peppered with these gates, you'll get the points for how far you've gone, but you have to go through one of these gates. So it's a very, very tricky, really, really difficult game. It's £1.49 or $1.99 for your iPhone or your iPad. Dumb and Fat have made a game. No, that's not a 1920s comedy duo. It's a games developer, they've made a game called, yes, Perfection. It is a staggeringly minimalist game. That's how we're describing it, from the creators of Sling It. The idea is that you lop off bits of a floating polygon so that it fits within a lumpy sort of outline underneath this big polygon. And then you win. It's got a soundtrack. Like, literally, that's apparently the game. Rob reviewed this one, didn't think it was absolutely brilliant. Maybe you'll like it. 69p, 99 cents, iPhone, iPad, Crescent Moon Games have bought out a game called Dig! Because it comes with an exclamation mark. And it's basically Kicks, which is an old Taito arcade game in which you had to draw a line on a big field, and then so it was basically like a square, and then you draw a line cutting through that square, and then that square, part of that square, the smaller part of that square, fills in with a picture, usually. And if it was in the arcade in Winchelsea, it would be a naked lady.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Are they allowed to do that?
Oh, Kicks wasn't. Oh. But Winchelsea Arcade, they were rebels, John. They were rebels. And they had a naughty version of Kicks in which some poor woman got her babs out for a video game. I've no idea why. Don't worry, though, listeners. Dig does not have lady bits in it. It's about zombies, because it's a video game released in 2013. But it's the same idea. You get the idea. It's £1.99. It's $2.99. It's for your
iPhone. I've seen this one, actually. Yeah, it was kind of, yeah, it's interesting.
There's just 1,000 games like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of quite nicely done. I wasn't quite sure the, you know. I think it's one of those, it's interesting, because obviously Crescent Moon are kind of not so keen on free-to-play games, so I think it's kind of one of those bits slight, so you kind of nowadays, with the amount of gameplay you get with free-to-play games, you might kind of feel a bit, not like necessarily cheated, but you kind of think, like, oh, I paid money for it, and maybe it's not, doesn't give you the hours and hours and hours of gameplay that maybe you thought. Yeah, and there's lots of other interesting games out, aren't there, this week? I mean, I think there's quite a lot of competition on the old game front this week.
On the game front. Yes, one of them is not Daddy Was a Thief. Unfortunately, sort of first impressions of it have, and obviously they're not conclusive, but first impressions from Mark say that Daddy Was a Thief is a game in which you play a large fat man jumping through people's roofs to steal money, and it's basically a sort of neat enough twist on the Endless Runner formula. But apparently it's a little bit fiddly, and the combo system is barely explained, and maybe not worth your £1.49 or $1.99. That's iPhone, iPad, and if you're an Android owner as well, it's also on that.
Android,
yeah. It's
Android.
It's another... Keith, it's another platform in which you can play video games on, and it's from these folks who do a search engine.
Yahoo?
Alta Vista? Alta
Vista. Ask Jeeves?
That's correct. Yeah.
if Ask Jeeves came up with a Google OS.
Do you remember when the internet had things like Lycos? That was ridiculous.
Yeah, Lycos, yeah.
Utterly ridiculous.
I used to have a Lycos email address.
Yeah. GeoCities, I had a GeoCities.
I had an email address from Screaming Net. Do you remember that?
No.
Oh, that was
a dirty website.
No, it wasn't. That was the surprising thing about it. Chuck the Muck is by Kiz Studios, and it's free! It's also sort of a bit like Angry Birds. The idea is it's sort of a physics-based puzzler in which you need to fling these small little blobby creatures about via trampolines to little different set points of a level. You do that by pulling the trampolines back, much like one might do with, say, a catapult, and then flinging them at said direction. It looks quite nice. It's a 3D environment, and it's very colourful. It's got nice water effects from the looks of things, and I like a good water effect.
I've never understood it. Everyone goes always on about water effects.
I love water effects.
Websites for that kind of thing.
WaterEffects.tumblr.com. That's free. And it's iPhone, iPad, and from Mark White, it's Tasty Tadpoles. 69p, 99 cents. It's a cute casual game, apparently. It's a game in which you are a small and very tasty tadpole, and you to avoid you need to avoid other, as we're describing them, frog toddlers on your way.
Frog toddlers
on the way to an exit. I think that's a brilliant. Description for a tadpole. It is 69p 99 cents. Yeah, it sounds interesting enough. Skipping down the rest of them,
loads of good ones.
There's what else?
Sid Meier's Ace Patrol. Sid Meier's Ace Patrol.
Should we talk about that?
Why are we not talk about it?
Well,
Dan from talking about it.
Explain it to me. What is it?
I don't know. Sid Meier's Ace Patrol. I've not played it.
Oh right.
Sid Meier, you know Sid Meier.
So we're
Meier,
going on the fact that it's got Sid Meier on it.
Well, he's like one of the most famous strategy game designers in the history of games.
What? Did he make Theme Hospital?
No, he didn't make Theme Hospital.
Well, then I'm not interested,
Will Wright,
John.
Is he? Only care about games that Will Wright makes.
No, I'm only interested in Theme Hospital. Okay. Yeah, okay, so Ace Patrol is a... it's free to play, isn't it?
Of course it is.
Yeah, because it's on mobile. And it's an aerial skirmish game set against the backdrop of World War One, and designed, as John says, by the legend behind Civilization and Railroad Tycoon. Basically, you fly about. It's World War One. So
World War One.
Yeah, because it's biplanes, isn't it?
Yeah, the planes look nicer.
But it's a very nice looking game. Now, it looks like it's cel-shaded.
Yeah, it does look a bit like that, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? It looks like it's got a bit of strategy to it. Looks like it's got
a lot of strategy, yeah. I think I've downloaded it, not played it yet, but it's because it's like a tilt game, but most of it is looks like kind of strategy, and you're kind of setting up strategy, and you're unlocking different planes, and there's quite a lot of different manoeuvres and things you can do. It's not quite, you know.
It sounds like it could be an interesting one. I think the other interesting one, unless there's any others, is Gameloft's Team Fortress 2-esque Blitz Brigade.
There's loads of other ones, but that's been out, hasn't it? I mean,
it's been in soft launch
ages,
hasn't
it?
Yeah, it's now available worldwide, and it is it's a bit sort of Battlefield Heroes, basically, and a little bit Team Fortressy. You run around, first person shooter, shooting your mates. It is free, but it is apparently extremely IAP heavy. To the point that I think you have to quite literally pay to play, as in you get 10 free goes and then you have to start paying for.
Well, I mean, but that's exactly any different to CSR Racing. I mean, that's the same kind of thing, isn't it?
Well, no, but
you get a certain amount of fuel, don't you? So, I mean, normally you get a certain amount of goes free, and then it's...
Yeah, I don't know whether or not you can actually regain more, though. I'm not 100% sure.
Oh, I see.
I'm not 100% sure on that one, I'll be perfect.
Because the other thing is, the first free-to-play shooter was Eliminate from NG Mocha, and that...
That's gone, though, isn't it?
That's gone, yeah, but they had a lot of... that had a similar thing, had an energy system. And actually, I thought they handled that quite well, because you had an energy system, and you had to have energy for play the games that ranked, but you could still play games when you ran out of energy, but they just didn't rank. So I thought that was quite an elegant system, but it was the first free-to-play game everyone moaned about it. But I was surprised no one's really used that again. Anyway, yeah.
I might download this and give it a go, actually. Yeah. What other exciting games are there, JJ?
I seem to be the only one who's... I've not played it again, but I was quite excited by Zynga's Running With Friends, which I quite like. I have to say, I've not really played a lot of the With Friends kind of games, but I do like the idea of doing it, and it's kind of... I guess we've seen with games like Fish Out of Water, a lot of people using that kind of leaderboard type stuff. But it's interesting, partly because it's the developer is David Jaffe's old lot, Eat, Sleep, Play.
No.
Yes. Which is quite odd they did that. And I'm not quite sure how much that's been known, because I actually interviewed one of the guys at Zynga, and we had a big discussion about it. But I don't know if I've not seen anyone else kind of writing about that. But so basically, it's Endless Runner. So it's like it's not so much Temple Run or that sort of that style, but it's a bit more like Subway Surfers.
Mm-hmm.
So really cute art style, and kind of lots of interaction. And they've chosen like it's quite interesting. They've chosen it's like a bull running game. So you're like running in the Spanish city with like bulls coming towards you, and sometimes you can jump on the back of bulls and they act like a power up and break through things and really really good looking game. And they've tried, because they've got this with friends thing, they've tried to kind of have it's not really missions, but it's kind of more kind of I guess like achievements for each one that you're doing. So you're obviously trying to get as far as possible, but you kind of do other things. So like, you know, break all the crates, and obviously you're collecting gold stars and stuff. And if I remember correctly, it's each level is kind of procedurally generated, but obviously for each, everyone plays the same level, but all the levels are kind of different as you play with a new kind of leaderboard and groups and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think in terms of if it was just the Endless Runner, people, you just go, oh, it's quite interesting. It's just a well done Endless Runner. But I think it's much more interesting, these kind of social aspects that obviously Zynga have been kind of good at in the past. So that's kind of an interesting one, I think, to experiment with. I don't really know very much about this, but I'm told I'm MT, a big World of Warcraft thing. I am Major Tank. I don't know. That's it. Do you know at all what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know, I don't play World of Warcraft, but apparently there's a thing called IMMT.
Right.
And it's massive in... so it's basically like a machinima kind of thing done by these Chinese guys based around World of Warcraft. And it's now been released as a kind of card battling game.
right, okay.
And it's, I don't know, it's kind of... Yeah, obviously... Yeah, actually, no, it's really massive. So it's like 6 million players of the mobile game in Asia, and now they've just released a version for the US. So that's kind of you know, so lots of people are interested in that kind of thing. What else? That's probably about it for the time.
I think that's more than enough games for everybody.
Oh, no, there is a very quick one. There's one, Las Vegas, which is based on a board game, which is
Is that the one that's from Ravensburger, isn't it? That's the German makers.
Yes.
So that's apparently very complicated.
I don't think it is. It's a dice game.
Dice games can be hard.
Oh, it can be, yeah.
I think it is quite hard. I don't know.
Well, I saw a version of it, and I don't think it's not that difficult. It's good. I mean, I think it's like a tactical thinking game, but it's not like the... the really complicated kind of board game ones that they've done in the past.
Carcassonne and...
Yeah, it's not that level.
Okay.
It's not like a... Yeah, it's just the people who made... oh, no, it's not. I'm talking absolute rubbish. Well, Ravensburger have done Sanjoy and Puerto Rico and Scotland Yard and all that kind of stuff, but they've licensed it from another company, so that's... Anyway, interesting.
An interesting week indeed. So, with all of those amazing games coming out... Right now, there are already loads of games that are already out, and we have been playing some of them. So let's go over to the section in which we discuss which of those games we have been playing.
What we've been playing!
What have you been playing? That is a question that is asked on podcasts. I'm going to ask myself. Pete, what have you been playing? Well, Pete... I've been playing Warhammer Quest for preview.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I know, yeah.
You're a big Warhammer chap, aren't you?
I used to be, and I am now thinking about doing it again. This is from Rodeo Games, and it's out, I would say it's out in about a month or so.
you would say.
I would say. They wouldn't say, probably, but I want it out sooner. The full previews on Podgamer, just go to the site, search for Warhammer Quest. And obviously, it's not a finished build that I've been playing. But if you like Warhammer Quest, you will like Warhammer Quest on your mobile device. It's a really good recreation of the board game. And the board game, I always thought, was ace. It's basically a sort of physicalized Dungeons & Dragons. It's almost a hero quest, some might say, in which... You have a group of heroes, usually it's in multiplayer, and we'll come on to that in a minute, and you have your group of heroes, and it's things like a barbarian, and a dwarf, and an elf, and someone else, probably a wizard. And then you go through these dungeon corridors. And when you go through into a new room, the dungeon kind of randomly builds something else. So you, in the physical game, you roll some dice. And, depending on what you roll, it comes up with a specific tile that you then place, and then you roll again, you find out what creatures are going to be in there, or if indeed there are going to be creatures in there. And the game kind of has, it blends very created, crafted stuff, whereby you go through corridors that are very clearly made in a specific way, and they're very unique. And then it fills in the bits in between with completely random corridors. So, like, it's technically a new game each time that you go through it. It's a very difficult game to begin with, because it's got a lot of strategy to it. You know, you need to move down these corridors like a proper coordinated unit. You keep your wizard at your back, you keep your elf a little bit in front of them so that they can sort of fire arrows, and then you keep your warrior in front, because that's the guy that's going to take the brunt of the damage if there's a bunch of river trolls in the next dungeon area. And it's ace. Like, it's really, really enjoyable. Like I say, if you played Warhammer Quest before, you will probably, unless someone smears jam all over all of their computers and it all goes wrong before release, you will probably like it when it is released in about a month-ish. Two downsides. One, it's not the best looker in the world. Like, when it's stationary, it looks lovely. But the actual models themselves, they're sort of animated, but when they fight, say, for example, your barbarian's got like a sword or an axe or something like that, when they take a swing, and then the orc sort of that you're punching or whatever is stood still and then reacts when they've put the axe away or whatever. Like, it just doesn't have any contact. There's no excitement there. The excitement comes from the actual strategy. And if you're a strategy fan, brilliant. Like, you know, you're used to this kind of stuff. But if you want something that's a little bit more engaging, keeps you in that world, then maybe this isn't going to do that. And the other downside, and I am told that it is coming at some point, but at the moment it's a single player only game, and that that is really bad, because because what I want to do is I want to go and spend £600 on an iPad, and however much it's going to cost when this game comes out. I think it's going to probably cost a couple of quid at most. And I want to put it in the middle of a circular table, and then myself and my friends play as each of our own characters and decide how we're going to move through this dungeon together, because that is the Warhammer Quest experience. That is how that game is played. But at the moment, it's a single-player-only thing.
You kind of understand to put in multiplayer is quite complicated, but to put it on device multiplayer kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you kind of think that would be a bit of an easier thing to do, really, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. And I talked to Ben Murch, and he's the he's sort of like,
of course, it's them, isn't it? It's Rodeo.
Absolutely. It's one of the top blokes there. And I sort of interviewed him, and he said, you know, this is definitely something that we want and that we want to introduce, but it will have to come later. Same goes for extra characters. As fans will remember, there were lots of expansions for the game, including, you know, character packs, that sort of thing. So your Witch Hunter, which is the character that I played when I was a youngster, he's not in there. That's not there at the moment. But your I want to get this right. I think it's the Dwarf Dragon Slayer, as opposed to the Dwarf Ironbreaker. The Dwarf Dragon Slayer, which is an extra character, that is available and will cost you a couple of quid as well. So again, you can sort of spec out the game that you want, in much the way that the sort of card and plastic version did. So I was tickled pink by my time with that game. Keith, I'm not going to come to you, because I know you haven't played anything.
Has he not done his homework again?
He hasn't done it.
Did the dog eat your iPhone again, Keith?
I'm disgusted. But, John, you won't let me down.
Okay. yes, I've not a vast amount of time spent with them, I have to admit. But there were two games, and it's kind of interesting. So I'm not like a massive toy, I'm not massive like tower defense kind of guy, mm-hmm. but I do quite, in a sense, they're kind of I have kind of played them over the years and reviewed them and stuff, and I guess it's like one of those genres, isn't it, where you kind of it's just quite comforting to know what you're doing, and if they get too novel, then you kind of go, oh, I've got to learn all this stuff, and you know, so I don't know, and it's kind of weird because obviously like Field Runners was like the big hit when iOS came out, and so people kind of piled into to tower defense games, and now it's still a genre that's still, you know, pretty successful. Like the Bloons stuff is pretty successful on it, but it seems to have like died down a little bit. Anyway, there is, I think they're a Russian company, and they did a pretty successful game called Toy Defense, and they've just released a sequel, Toy Defense 2. And it is kind of interesting because it is actually a paid game. So there's an iOS version and an HD version, and it's quite expensive, like $5, I think, the HD version. And it does have in-app purchases as well. And it's, in a sense, it's kind of like, I don't think it does anything very innovative, which is kind of quite comforting for me. And what you do, you just have like four different unit types. So you have like rifleman, artillery, anti-aircraft, and then an aircraft. So they're the unit types. But each of them you can kind of upgrade up to three times. And then once you've done that, there's six different attributes you can buy for them, which give you kind of like a high probability of slowing down the enemy or getting a single an immediate kill or something. And it's just kind of nicely done. And the in-app purchase stuff, there's no store in the game, so you can't go and buy currency. But if you try and upgrade something where you don't have the currency, it goes, do you want to go and kind of buy this? So it's like almost like a cross between a consumable item and an item kind of thing. And I've not played it that much, but it's not difficult at all. Like with most tower defense games, you kind of troll through, don't you? I mean, it's just kind of and it's quite interesting. And the one nice thing it does actually is when you finished each level, you have a certain number of slots that you can kind of keep kind of units for the next round, and you get them like kind of cheaper at a cheaper price, and obviously you take the units that you've leveled up during that round. So it's not quite a hero unit because they're still generic units because it's called toy defense, so they're all based like a little like, you know, plastic green toy soldiers kind of thing. So I wouldn't kind of say it's an outstanding tower defense game. It's just kind of just for the way I played tower defense games, it's kind of just really nicely done. And there's another one that's interesting. I guess kind of listeners in the UK may or may not be interested in the snooker over the last weekend. There's a game called PUK, which is I think it actually stands for something. I don't know. Anyway, it's a game called PUK, which is like a very kind of almost like abstract version of billiards. And all you do is basically there's like some big spheres. It's just like a monochrome game, so it's white and orange, very abstract. And then so there's these big kind of circles on the screen, and you have these little kind of almost imagine them like balls, and you're kind of like pinging them, pulling them back and letting them go. And they like just ping up the screen, obviously bounce off things, and you just have to basically use the small balls and hit the big balls, and as you hit them, they kind of get smaller. It seems really simple when you start playing. You go, there's a massive ball, and they've only got one little one to hit it, and they can hardly miss. And then it obviously gets much more complicated. And the whole point is to do a kind of like an endless runner. As soon as you make one mistake, then it's all over, and you have to start again. So that was while watching the snooker, that was kind of appropriate.
And how did the snooker go?
Ronnie O'Sullivan won again.
Yeah, didn't really want to.
No, exactly. Yeah.
I'm sure that will mean something to somebody.
I don't know if you just... Why did you just crawl into a little box of an evening? I don't know where what you're doing, but you've never seen Herbie.
Right.
And you don't know about Ronnie O'Sullivan, I must say.
What?
These are the things that matter to me.
He's seen as being the most gifted snooker player in the history of the sport.
What, Herbie?
He doesn't even want to play anymore.
And he doesn't want to play anymore?
No, he's
why
just
not?
Doing it for the money. Well, he's a bit messed up. Let's be frank.
He's a messed up snooker player.
He's a bit messed up. Mm. Did you not ever see that press conference he gave where he asked if someone wanted to give him a...
That's not true.
That can't go out on air. He did. He had to apologise. he said fancy and...
Well, that's good. I don't know how to recover from that. We're coming to the end of this podcast. I think one of our best. you've got to look forward to another one of these next week because James is still out. He's actually on a secret mission which I don't think we can talk. Can we talk about a secret mission? I don't know.
Not unless you want to kill the entire audience.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, I don't want to do that.
I know you have a lot of addresses, but I don't.
A lot of addresses. Okay, that's good. Listeners, you've already heard me talk about Finding Fincher Friend. Reminder, go do that. These two people I'm talking to right now, they've no idea what that is, but you do. So, brilliant. Go and do that. Let's find him a friend. You should also go to facebook.com/PGBiz. And you should also find Pocket Gamer on Facebook as well. And you should give both of those pages a like. Follow us on Twitter. And come to podgamer.co.uk. That's the website that I write for. And podgamer.biz, which is the site that JJ and Keith write for. Is there anything else we can plug? There's not. Oh, yes, actually, there is. Listeners, we know how many thousands of you that there are. Go and give us a lovely rating and a review on iTunes. Don't base it on this show. Base it on the previous one that was well produced by James. But do go and give us a lovely, maybe 5-star rating and review on the iTunes store.
Because also,
that would be lovely.
My debut album's coming out, so they can buy that on iTunes as well.
Okay, what's the debut album called, Keith?
Touch My Heart.
Okay, brilliant stuff. Go and buy Touch My Heart by Keith Andrew.
It's heart, yeah.
Okay. Yep. Tried to think what the artwork is like. thank you guys for listening, and we will speak to you all next week.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.